I'm done doubting Russell Wilson. But his ability to stay calm and lead drive, whether it's week two or the playoffs or the Super Bowl, he always puts them in a position to be successful.
And Russell takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over, baby.
Touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl.
This is Hawks Talk.
Good morning, Seahawk fans, and welcome to Hawks Talk here on CSN and iTunes. As always, I am your host, Joel Gunderson. Well, I said coming into this game that anyone tuning in to see a fine-tuned, aesthetically pleasing, well-played game would be surely disappointed. The NFL's newest baby, their big Thursday night push, has really shown light on just how ineffective teams are when they don't have their full cupboard of rest and practice. And on top of that, last night when Seattle and Los Angeles played, when those two teams have squared off as of late, no matter how much prep time they've had, they've engaged in some really ugly contests, none more so than that of week two earlier this season when the Rams won 9-3 in Los Angeles. But the subplots to this game last night, Seattle coming off an embarrassing performance in Green Bay, needing a win to clinch the NFC West, Los Angeles having fired their head coach, Jeff Fisher, earlier this week, you kind of got the feeling that the Seahawks were going to impose their will and give us another dud of a performance. And after a sluggish start for both teams to the game, really, Los Angeles entered halftime with only 97 yards of offense. Seattle had 101. That's when Seattle really took off in the second half. They led 10-3 at halftime. In the second half, though, that's when they really took off. Russell Wilson had two touchdown passes, one to Doug Baldwin, another one to Tyler Lockett. And the defense once again showed that when they're engaged and at home, which certainly helps, they're the best in the league. After entering the half up 10-3, Seattle really pulled away in the third quarter. They would end up winning 24-3 in kind of a laugher of a game. And nothing really happened after the third quarter. Both teams just kind of played out the string because at this point in the season, you can tell Los Angeles has just given up and they're ready to go into the offseason, get a new coaching staff in there and get started. But if you're Seattle, despite the win, there are still some things that they need to be worried about. There was lots of talk this week about them potentially focusing on the run game more as the playoffs got near and really looking to establish that, because there's no way 13 games into the season, 14 after last night, that they could have felt comfortable about where their offensive line was specifically with that running game. And with the Rams and now the Cardinals and the 49ers on the schedule coming up, along with a suddenly healthy Thomas Rawls, you kind of felt like maybe things were aligning to get the run game going. And it seemed like the perfect recipe to pound the rock, get some rhythm on the ground, and hopefully enter the playoffs with a more balanced team than they've been all year. But once again, it didn't pan out. Not only was Russell Wilson running for his life every time he stopped back to throw the ball, he was under extreme duress almost every time he threw it, but Seattle couldn't muster any semblance of a running game. They finished with 95 yards on 29 carries. That also factored in a couple of sacks on Wilson's part and then a couple kneel downs to end the game. But stats aside, there's still a general feeling that the Seahawks have lost interest in even trying to establish a run game. And it's got to be tough on offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell. Here, he has a top five quarterback in Wilson. He has electric receivers and Doug Baldwin and Lockett and Jermaine Kearse. And he has a tight end in Jimmy Graham, who's arguably one of the toughest matchups in all the NFL. So when you have those weapons, every instinct has to be telling him, use them. Especially when the running game oftentimes leads to shortened drives and halts a lot of momentum that the passing game may get. And maybe now that after last night the NFC West is wrapped up, they won the division, maybe they'll make it a bigger priority going forward. But they still have a couple games left where they need to win because they're still looking to lock in that two seed and a first round bye. But the bottom line is that Seattle is not going to go into Dallas, for example, in the playoffs and win if they can't run the ball, because they won't be able to control the clock. They won't be able to keep the ball out of the hands of a Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. And that's how they're going to lose games. They won't go into Detroit and win if they have this one-dimensional attack. They won't go into New York and beat the Giants. And if they get matched up at some point with Green Bay, arguably the hottest team in the NFC if they make it to the postseason, well, we saw last week just how bad of a matchup that is. And Green Bay's always been a bad matchup. And even though Seattle's gotten the best of them overall, the majority of the time, Green Bay is not a team that you want to face in the playoffs. And especially if you can't run the ball, they're going to be in a lot of trouble, whether that game's in Seattle or not. So, bottom line, they now have 2 weeks and potentially a bye week if they can make it into that number two seed during the first round of the playoffs to get this thing figured out, this running game. The running game is literally, at this point for the Seahawks, the last thing they have got to get figured out. The offensive game is clicking. Special teams are clicking. Defense looks good. The running game, that's it. So, in the next couple weeks, they have to decide, do they want to aim for balance, or do they want to ride Wilson and his receivers and hope for the best? And I'll say this in the defense of the offensive line for last night, because despite their now 4-10 record, Los Angeles does have a pretty dynamic defense. They really do. It hasn't done much to help them get wins this year because their offense is so anemic, but man, between Aaron Donald and Alec Ogletree and just a host of other really, really talented players, that's a good defense. It truly is. And in the NFC, aside from maybe Green Bay, they really won't face a defensive front that good again. So, who knows? Maybe it was just a bad night. Maybe the Rams' offense or defensive line really played out of their minds and gave it one last go for the season. But when you watch that game, you really got the sense of if Seattle goes into the playoffs and they're performing the way they are right now, not only are they not going to be able to run the ball, Wilson's going to be scrambling for his life every single time he goes back to throw the ball. And the one thing that Seattle can take away from last night that was unequivocally positive was the defense. Once again, making a mockery of the opposition. Seriously, when they're at home, that unit is otherworldly. I'm not sure what happens to them when they go on the road. The old saying is that defense travels. Well, lately Seattle's hasn't traveled, but they don't fully disappear on the road, but they're nowhere near as stifling as they are at home. And I think that's what's so incredible to watch is the way they feed off the crowd. And it's weird. It's almost an optical illusion. It's almost as if the defenders look a little bit bigger and a little bit faster when they're at home. And maybe last night it was those Color Rush uniforms, the insanely bright green Color Rush uniforms. And, it made some guys look super intimidating. And like I said, Los Angeles' offense, especially with no coach right now, and Jared Goff looks really, really bad. And it looks like, I mean, it's still early. You don't want to make any assumptions, but right now he does not look like the number one pick, overall pick, and should have been worthy of that pick. The Rams' offense is terrible, but Seattle did their job. And when you have a team like that, you don't want to give them an opportunity to get any confidence, to get any momentum. They held Los Angeles to 183 yards of total offense. They only had 13 first downs. They only had 47 yards on the ground. And it's not like the Rams don't have talent. Yeah, remember last year, Todd Gurley, the rookie running back, when he came on after he was injured the first part of the year, he was really the talk of the NFL. But wow, I mean, they look so inept at this point, and they've clearly mailed it in, especially on offense. But again, when you put talent on the field, they're always going to have the potential to do something special. And last night, Seattle really took Los Angeles' offense and threw it out the window and said, you're not going to do anything. So it was really an impressive performance, knowing that it became apparent early on that the Seattle's offense wasn't going to do a whole lot either. And the defense really stepped up and took it upon themselves to go ahead and secure that win. Now, Seattle did suffer an injury on defense. It was kind of a fluky play, but Michael Bennett left the game with an apparent head injury. Now, we won't know the extent of it, but he looked really loopy after the play. It was kind of an interesting situation where he came off a block and literally ran into the running back, and they both just kind of fell apart. But Bennett fell on the ground and almost looked like he went limp for a second, was on the ground for a few minutes, got up, but he looked like he was really out of it. And it wouldn't surprise me at this point if they kept him out the next game or two. In reality, he hasn't looked great since he's been back from injury. He missed 5 games earlier in the season, and there's no point in risking anything with him because you need Bennett to be 100% going into the playoffs. So hopefully it wasn't serious. It wouldn't surprise me at all if a concussion diagnosis is what comes out of it. At that point, you sit him out next week, obviously, and you might even sit him out the next week against San Francisco because, like I said, going in, and he could potentially have 3 weeks off if that were the case. Now, you don't want him to be rusty, but you also want him to be 100% from a health standpoint. So that how they handle that situation is going to be interesting to watch. And we don't know. He may have not suffered a concussion last night, but certainly when you watch the game and watched his reaction and watched the trainer's reaction around him, that's kind of the conclusion you jump to. After the game, Tyler Lockett, who had 130 yards receiving, and he had the long touchdown the third quarter, he spoke to the media. Now, Lockett has always been talked a lot about from the special team standpoint. He's such a dynamic returner. But he's kind of an X factor for me heading into these playoffs. He hasn't been the difference maker as a receiver that Seattle was hoping for. But if last night was an indicator, maybe he's headed there finally.
They talked to me a little bit about it, but I try not to treat it any differently. You know, I talked to my family about it, and they told me, just go out there and play. You know, just do what you've been doing. Don't make it any bigger than it is. And, you know, for me, I just kind of went back to the basics. You know, I went back to my faith. You know, the reason why I started playing this game in the first place, I actually talked to one of my friends, Eric, and he just kind of told me how I inspired him and stuff like that in many ways. And so I just went back to why I played this game, you know, had so many people looking up to me and stuff like that. And so I just wanted to be able to cloud everything else away and just to be able to play free.
Tyler, why do you think now was the time they thought to kind of get you even more involved than you've been?
That, I don't know. Obviously, you just have to go out there and make the best out of the opportunities that's given. And that's exactly what I've been doing. I've been trying to make the best out of what's been given to me, whether it's on special teams or whether it's on offense. And today they gave me a lot more opportunities, and I'm thankful for that. And I just went and did whatever I could with it. You know, but at the same time, we have so many great players on offense to where they can play, they can do better than what I did today. You know, you have Doug. You know, Doug's been doing phenomenal. You have Jimmy, who's been doing phenomenal. You have T. Rawls, who can go for 200 at any day. I mean, you have so many people on this team that could be able to do what I did today. You know, today I just had the opportunity to be able to showcase my abilities. But who knows? Next game it might be Doug. Next game it might be Jermaine. Next game it could be Paul. You never know. And so you just have to be able to enjoy this moment with your team. And at the end of the day, it's not about the stats. It's not about any of that. It's about being able to win this game and play for your brothers. You know, we achieved something great today, which was the NFC West. And so we're good for going to the playoffs, but we know that it's only the beginning. We could put ourselves in a great position to be able to get a bye week. And so, like I said, it's not about stats. It's not about anything like that. It's just about playing for your brothers.
Knowing Russell Wilson like you do, how much were you guys just expecting him to bounce back and play like he did?
Oh, I mean, you know, Russell is a phenomenal dude, a great quarterback at that. He does a tremendous job mentally. He mentally prepares himself, especially in the offseason. And I was around him in the offseason to be able to see that. You know, he trains himself that if he throws an interception, it's as if it didn't even happen. It's as if it happened 3 years ago. And he does a great job continuing to lead us, continuing to talk to us, to motivate us, to get ourselves right for the next drive. Regardless of how drives go, he makes sure that we get right. You know, even if we're losing by 20, he's still talking to us, telling us this is a way to come back. And that's exactly what you want in a leader. You want somebody that's going to go out there and that's going to lead us through this battle, through this war that we go through. And I think that he's done a fantastic job. And I think that we're starting to buy into the system. We're doing a lot of great things right now, and we're going to continue doing it.
How'd you get as open as you did on that, the long touchdown?
Well, I think they were in cover two. I could be wrong, but I think they were in cover two. So Jermaine had flats, and the safety had the deep part where I was going to. But I think Jermaine was running across the middle, and so he kind of held that safety up, and it allowed me to kind of get past Jermaine and to be able to stack him a little bit and score.
Tyler, how different has this season been for you battling through the injuries and now going down the stretch? It looks like you're having your biggest role yet.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it was difficult. Obviously, nobody plans on getting hurt throughout their whole entire season. But like I said 2 weeks ago, it could have been worse. There's a lot of people out here that's out for the end of the season and stuff like that. And for me, I was able to play through my injuries. But at the same time, it was frustrating. But I had to lean on my faith. You know, I had to continue to embrace this opportunity that I do have. And like I said, I still see kids, you know, inspired by me. I still see kids wearing my jerseys. I still see kids wanting to talk to me and stuff like that. So at the end of the day, I just had to start to see the bigger picture. I couldn't run away from this platform that God had given me. I had to be able to embrace it and to be able to enjoy this moment with my teammates, my brothers, because who knows when this game is going to end for me.
Head coach Pete Carroll also spoke to the media after the game.
Well, really happy about getting the win tonight. Fired up that we got to do it here to clinch the division in front of the 12 so they can enjoy it too. We played this game hoping that the defense was going to play like they did. They had a great night and did everything we expected they could do. Rushed the passer, kept the running game down, played really well on third down, and made it hard on the young quarterback. And so that's really, we wanted to play off of that, and it worked out really well for us. The greens look good. Still wearing a little green. I hope you guys liked it. I thought it looked awesome. Players had a good time celebrating that as well. I thought it was a nice bounce back night for Russ. Came back and had a really good night. It's too bad the one throw was nuts, the last one. But other than that, he played a really good football game. I know everybody's wondering what happened last week, but he showed you who he is and what he's all about once again. I was really fired up for Tyler Lockett. He was on fire tonight and just looked great. And did a nice job in return game too, really pressing it and giving us a shot every time they kicked it to him. So this was a night about defense, championship night, and they rose it to the occasion and played great. And the offense found the yards we needed and rushed through three touchdowns. And really just was a fun night at the stadium. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Seems like Russ has always had a knack for if something's going wrong, fixing it. Did it surprise you at all?
No, we really were counting on it. Those guys are really tough up front. You saw how hard it was for us to run the football. We were determined to keep doing it. It was all part of this night, and we didn't do very well. Obviously, the play of the night was John Ryan's play. We were counting on that for our rushing yardage for the night. If we got a chance, so that helped us. That was a crazy play. But it was beautifully designed by the coaches and special teams, Brian Schneider and the guys. They did a great job. It was really a play that Nick Sorensen had been involved in years ago. And so Nick had a nice contribution to that as well. So it was really fun to see that happen. It worked exactly like we had hoped. And the situation was right. But I thought that was the play of the night.
It was an interesting week for Carroll. And he downplayed it, obviously. But when Jeff Fisher was fired on Monday, there was a couple names that were thrown out, the usuals, Jim Harbaugh, John Gruden. But there are some people that speculated that Carroll could be Los Angeles' first choice. Obviously really made his big mark in Los Angeles when he was with USC. Now, from a football standpoint, it makes absolutely no sense for Carroll to leave Seattle and go to Los Angeles. He has a much better team right now. He has a much better franchise in terms of just how well it's run. And, you know, he still lives in Los Angeles in the offseason. It's not like he can't ever go there. But I wrote about it earlier this week and how it could be a little bit of a distraction going forward just because, and this is the unfortunate nature of media these days, all it takes is a couple people to say, I think this guy is a candidate. I think so-and-so is a candidate. You really see it a lot in college, especially because it can really affect recruiting. So I don't envision Carroll. I really don't envision him going back to Los Angeles. I think that's more of just a kind of a pipe dream. And obviously Los Angeles wants to make him a candidate. They would love to have him there. He is California. He's perfect. He'd be the perfect coach to help welcome in the new stadium they're going to get and really try to rejuvenate that franchise. I don't think it's going to happen, but it had to be a little weird for him this week with, of course, Fisher getting fired, and then he gets thrown into the rumors, and then they get thrown into a game with Los Angeles the same week. So I'm sure for Pete, he's happy to have this week over. They can get past this and move on and head on to Arizona. But after the game last night, there's three things I learned as Seattle wrapped up their NFC West title. Number one, the Seahawks are very lucky that they play in the NFC West. This has been one of the most inconsistent seasons I can remember from a single franchise. And if they were playing in an even remotely competitive division, they would be in some trouble. Because Seattle can look like a Super Bowl contender one week, then get smacked around the next. I mean, this is a team that's gone into New England and won. Then they scrapped together 3 points in a game against Los Angeles earlier this season. So sometimes you get lucky with the schedule, or sometimes you get lucky with the teams in your division, and this is one of those years for Seattle. They caught scheduling breaks, they caught a break where every other team in the NFC West is down, because if they were playing in a division like the NFC North, for example, or the NFC East, I don't think they would be a playoff team. I really don't. Number two, now that they've wrapped up the NFC West and they have the weekend off, Seattle becomes big watchers this weekend, and nothing is set in stone for them other than the fact that they have won their division. They're in a really tight battle now with Detroit for the number two slot, which gets you a first round bye and home field. Now the Lions and Giants play this weekend and it will be a huge, huge game. So you can bet that all eyes from the Seattle Seahawks organization will be on that game. and how that turns out. Now, they have to take care of business next weekend. If they lose one of the next two, they really put themselves in a bad spot. But with Arizona and San Francisco coming up, then they just got to hope for the breaks to come in the right spots. Number three, Michael Bennett, CJ Procise. The health of those two guys will be a big storyline as we roll into the playoffs. Like I said, I don't think there's really any concern with Bennett that we're going to find out missing any time if they needed him. If they keep him out, it'll more than likely just be precautionary. But there's a chance the Seahawks could get Procise back soon. That struggling running game I talked about before, it looks completely different with him in the lineup. Seattle's offense looked its absolute best when Procise was healthy. He had a 2 or 3 game window there where he really got his rhythm and figured out what they were doing. Because his ability to find holes in the running game, catch the ball out of the backfield, it brought another dimension that is totally missing right now with this unit. And if he can make it back for the playoffs, then a lot of the offensive questions that we've talked about, they get answered. That offensive line suddenly looks a lot better when now you're not just relying on Rawls to make something happen, but you've got this shifty little guy in Procise, and they can be a really lethal combination. Seattle will be back at it on Christmas Eve next Saturday. The Arizona Cardinals come to town. Now, you remember, these two teams engaged in one of the ugliest, most bizarre games you will ever see earlier this year. The 6-6 tie, the bizarre finish through an overtime, and nobody wanted to win the game. And just a really, really weird night for Seattle, which kind of started this season of unpredictability, and you never quite knew what to expect from them. But with still so much to play for, this could be Seattle's game to finally look like a consistent force. They looked really good last night. When you take away some of the problems on the offensive line or whatever, they did look good. And now, much like Los Angeles was last night, Arizona's waved the white flag. So you have to figure if Seattle comes in focused, they could put forth another game like they did last night. Get out of there with a 20 to 25 point win, because they really do have that talent to do it, and they have the motivation now. And it's still an interdivision game. Even though they've wrapped up the division, you want to take care of the teams you play against most often. Seattle and Arizona don't like each other, so you got to think Seattle's going to come out super motivated. All the other stuff aside, they're just going to want to beat Arizona as well. And I'll recap it all for you next week. Thanks as always for listening to Hawks Talk here on CSN and iTunes. We'll talk to you next Saturday night.